everybody. It's another episode of Potions and Potpourri, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast where we talk about stuff, where we sometimes create things on the fly. We have interviews and the occasional live play. This is Keisha.
This is Kayla.
And hello again.
Hey.
Before we super kick it off, though, I have been curious what, Kayla, was your first anime that you have ever seen and been super into?
Oh, man.
Knowing that it's like an anime, not like controversially something like SpongeBob or whatever, which some people say
or
is
like
anime.
Avatar.
But we're going to put that aside today.
gosh, I don't know. I grew up watching like Toonami and Adult Swim. I think maybe the first anime I can remember watching like every night, and I like stay up late to watch it, that I like remember being into and watching most of was Inuyasha.
Yeah.
Inuyasha!
Kagome!
Inuyasha!
Kagome!
Yeah, and what a fucking...
That sums up the whole show, by the way. If you haven't seen it...
You don't need to watch
it. It's just these two people yelling for each other all the time.
What a ridiculous show. But to be fair, like... early 2000s late night anime was fucking weird.
It was like kind of bad, but like kind of good bad.
There was also
know?
A show that like nobody I know personally has ever seen, but I wonder if our listeners have heard of it, because it was on Adult Swim at night. It was called Paranoia Agent. It was in Japanese, and it was about that kid on the rollerblades that would go around and hit people in the head with a baseball bat.
I never actually watched it. I only have, like,
it's fucking weird.
Heard of it. Yeah, that sounds weird.
And then in the same, like, time slot, in the same realm of that show was Foolie Cooly.
FLCL.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a ridiculous
so
show.
So that's what got me into anime, which is funny because I don't really watch that kind of anime anymore. Like, that's, like, really weird Japanese kind of shit.
Yeah, pretty far out there, especially, like, for people when you've never seen anything and then suddenly you watch something like that.
Right. But, you know, like,
different.
Ghost in the Shell and... Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh my god.
That kind of stuff I was really into at the time. I would like to rewatch all those again because as an adult, I haven't watched much of that type of anime. So, what about you?
Well, I have a picture of when I was like 6 or 7, like decked out in Sailor Moon garb.
Oh, yeah. Sailor Moon. Like,
little Sailor Moon figures, and Sailor Pluto was my favorite because Pluto was my favorite planet. But yeah, so I guess technically it would be Sailor Moon, but then I would also say that Full Metal Alchemist was the one that like really drew me into that. And I was obsessed.
I mean, I've watched Full Metal just a few years ago, again, all the way through as an adult, and it's like one of the best shows I've ever seen.
It's so well done.
It's beautiful.
And it's one of the few where, another question, are you a sub or a dub girl?
I like subs.
Yeah.
I know that's controversial, but I like I like subtitles even on American shows. So.
even more controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a subtitle all the way because it's hard for me to watch... I don't know for why, but English voiced acting sometimes on there is just not as good.
I do like dubs,
but
for like a lot of the, it depends how popular it is, you know, like,
like for Full Metal, like that cast is just
right.
Oh, so good.
I mean, fucking Willingham is Roy Mustang. So of course you're gonna watch that in English. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. That like some of the more popular ones, the dubs are really good, and it's definitely worth watching. But some of the more obscure ones, you know, obviously they didn't shell out as much for that.
It's almost more annoying than anything. It's pretty bad.
And it changes the story a lot of the times, depending how bad it is. You know.
Yeah, that's also true too.
Did you read manga?
Yes, I still have my Full Metal collection and Fruits Basket. Those are the two that I kept because...
I think I read Fruits Basket a little bit. I don't remember any of the manga I read growing up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The first series I actually bought, though, was Magic Knight Rare Earth by Clamp. And that was... They're a fun group. I love almost everything that they come out with, actually. But, yeah, the two that I actually have kept... Fruits Basket and FMA.
Yeah, I definitely, when I got older and kind of got back into that kind of stuff, I steered more towards like graphic novels. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
but all right, well, now you know a little bit more of our nerdy side.
Yep, it's not all
in
about
a different realm.
It's not always about D&D.
No, not always. We like other stuff too. Fairly well-rounded ish, but we'll get back to the real reason why everybody is here. today is going to be a topic that I personally felt kind of strongly about, and we have dabbled into this kind of before in a couple episodes, but not like super deep. And this time we even did a little bit of research too in trying to get other opinions and other sides about it. But anyway, the topic today is basically, how has Dungeons and Dragons impact your real life? So
yeah,
how is this fantasy, this everybody sitting around a table playing make-believe, how has that actually seeped into what you do outside of it?
Exactly.
So
especially because it's so mainstream now, so it has reached pretty much all corners of the world and all types of people.
Yes, and all the different like cliques and stuff too. It's not necessarily because once upon a time, it was strictly for just the nerds, the losers,
the like nerdy boys
that like, oh, nobody cared for. And they're just like such geeks and nobody wants to talk to them.
Yeah. But
they would get together and play their make-believe game. And now everybody does it from all factions of everything.
Exactly.
But yeah, I guess I could go ahead and start. For me personally, how it's affected me is, I mean, there's the overall general, like, it's definitely expanded my friend group.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's the only friend group that I see on a regular basis.
I know, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I've thought about that before, too.
It's the only ones that I see, like, almost every single week and talk to.
Yeah.
Every single week. Like, everybody else is like, oh, I might, like, once a month. Or once a year.
I know. The irony too is that like some of those people in our group I only hang out with in the context of D&D. Never like, not never, I just don't know them well enough, I guess, to ironically to be like, hey, like let's go get lunch.
Yeah, you know? It, yeah.
So it's like almost on the other end of it where it's contained strictly to D&D and you can't do anything outside of D&D.
It is actually interesting that way because I feel that the same too with a couple of people.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh no, I'm so comfortable with them when it comes to D&D and right. Like acting out these
what else
characters.
Would you do?
But then when we're like in between this, like in the middle of the session or something, we're taking a break or whatever, everybody's just like, so
that was your day.
What do you do again for a job?
Yeah, right.
Where are you from?
How old are you?
How old is everybody? I don't know anything about
you. Isn't it weird?
It's kind of, yeah. But at the same time, like, you don't have to have that super deep connection.
No.
To be part of that group.
I mean, I think the basis of a D&D group should just be that everybody gets along at least 90% well.
Yeah.
And is all on the same page about what they want and that everybody's having fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's just what it is.
You don't have to be best friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you just have to be, like, comfortable with each other.
It's just like in high school when you had your own, like, clubs or whatever.
Yeah.
Or the sports, I guess. I don't know. Where you would only, some of those people you only see in the context of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, you all go home.
Yeah.
You don't see each other again until you meet up again for the thing.
Well, so now there's like D&D school clubs, you know?
Yes. So that was something that we had recently looked up, is that there are actual programs out there to help you teach with D&D.
Oh, cool.
I haven't looked into it too deeply because I don't know that I can sign up for all that because I'm not actually a teacher.
Oh,
but I see. On the outside of it, it was like, hey, like use this in the classroom to teach about math because there is math in D&D.
Okay, you know? So like roll some dice and add them together.
Yeah, exactly. So like for a younger generation, mm-hmm. It could be a really fun way to get them interested.
Yeah, in that's awesome.
That kind of class that most people are like, math. You know,
I mean, I hate math.
Yeah.
This is like literally the only time I use math. I've gotten marginally better at addition over the like 4 or 5 years we've been playing D&D.
Yeah, right?
So I can add quickly, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, still, it's better than not.
I know. I wouldn't have had that much practice with it in my regular life, so it's nice to do some math at least. But.
Right. And there's, like, I've seen someone when they were like, okay, so my party is 20 feet away from me, but then I flew up 30 feet, so how far does my spell actually, you know, like
the Pythagorean theorem?
Yeah, whatever that is. Never thought you'd use that in real life.
Exactly. But that's a good segue into like actual skills that people can learn from playing D&D.
Yeah, like legitimate ones that you can use in the real world that actually helps you excel.
And I mean, so like young kids can learn math from it, or again, if you're just like somehow impaired or math stresses you out, you know? And of course, you can use a calculator and all that. Or you can use something like D&D Beyond, where it just rolls the dice digitally and adds it up. But there's also like social skills and language skills.
That's a huge one.
You know, it expands your imagination, critical thinking, and like improv skills, you know, things you wouldn't necessarily learn from school.
Or maybe that you just have a hard time learning in that setting.
Yeah. Because
everybody learns differently. I definitely personally learned that maybe it's because I'm left-handed. I don't know. That's what I've been told. But I just think differently because I remember, I'm pretty sure I brought this up with you before. I don't know if it was on this podcast. In CAD.
What's they CAD?
Give you a computer.
Oh, okay. Computer class in school.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't called that for me, but I know what you mean.
Anyways, for CAD, I just remember CAD. The teacher would give us handouts, and it would be three sides of this really complicated figure that's just like has a bunch of lines and stuff. It's just this like really weird shape. It's a very complicated shape, and you have to draw the fourth side.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be like the top, the bottom, or something like that.
Sounds terrible.
So I remember I did it and I felt pretty confident. I was like, oh my God, I did it. I'm so smart. And it came back to me and my teacher literally personally handed me the paper and he was like, so I'm very confused because you did it inside out.
Oh my God.
So you're not wrong. But
how?
Yeah, I was like, what? Oh, he was like, you're just supposed to draw the top, but I still let you pass because it's, again, it's not wrong. I was like, oh, sorry.
Weird.
I don't know how that happened. I wish I kept that paper.
But now you can draw maps and shit.
But yeah, sure. Yeah, for some people, they just think differently and they learn differently. So this could be an actual tool to help them through that.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that I was going to bring up that D&D has helped me personally with is building my social skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've mentioned this multiple times where I am nervous, I have anxiety, but playing this where you're role-playing with a group, for me, usually with people I don't know, at least when I first started, you know, it gives you that confidence because we're all being silly, you know, we're all in it together.
Yeah.
There's no like wrong way necessarily to roleplay your character. Yeah. So yeah, because I definitely, that was during a time when I was a team lead at a previous job. So I had to talk to people a lot and doing this helped me immensely.
Kind of build your confidence to talk to people that were your subordinates.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit better. Yeah,
instead
definitely.
Of being the person where I'm like, I know I'm your leader, but I don't know what to say to you, so could you please do this one thing? If you want, I don't know.
If you want, just do your job. That'd be really cool. You don't have to, but I would really like it if you did.
Great. We wouldn't have to do this again.
Can you imagine if you were our DM like that?
Oh my God.
If you guys want to, there's going to be a battle, but it's okay if you guys, if you don't want to fight them, it's okay. We'll just run away. That's fine.
Nothing would happen.
I know,
everything
exactly.
would be terrible. Yeah, you gotta take the reins in that case. For sure. God, it even reminds me of a time when I was trying to do my first interview. Have I told you this story?
I don't know.
So I was sitting down with a girl and I was just like, okay.
You have told me this story.
Yeah, I'm pretty nervous. Yep. Are you? And she was like,
no.
No? You're here to interview me, right? And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. I need help. I'll be right back.
Oh, no.
So I literally left and had to get help.
Oh, my God.
I had to have someone else
interview
help me
her.
With the interview. Yeah, I was like, it's hard. Like, I want to be nice and the questions.
Did you ever end up being that girl's boss?
Yes.
Oh, man.
No, she got hired and I'm friends with her to this day.
Okay, that's good.
She has seen this sort of transition of me from like that first day to now.
That's kind
of
fun.
Yeah, it helps with your social skills a lot. It helps with your writing, I feel like, too, especially if you're a DM or even for players when you're like writing out the backstory, you know. So if you want a career in writing, D&D may help that creative
process. Well, it's definitely one of the many outlets that I think D&D can give to people on the creative side of things. Like, kind of lets people, especially people that want to homebrew things,
mm-hmm.
it lets them really flex their writing skills, all that sort of creative stuff where they get to make up something that they are passionate about.
Yeah.
But there's professional content creators, you know? Mm-hmm. That was like one of my notes. It's like D&D is a major brand now and people have like livelihoods surrounding it other mm-hmm. than just like, you know, the main Gary Gygax tree of people that invented and made D&D popular. But now people like devote their lives and have like full-on careers, like full-time jobs just doing D&D.
Yeah,
like just some people just
content.
Make content, some yeah. people play it live, some people make podcasts, you know? Yep. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to think about, too, because I am addicted to Kickstarter. Pretty sure we mentioned that before, too. And there's just almost every day, I always get a notification, hey, you might be interested in this new 5e D&D.
You're like, yes, I am.
I'm like, God damn it.
I am interested.
Click. So angry, but I'm into it. Yeah, and yeah, a lot of people are making a lot of money off of it, too. And I'm sure it's also helping those artistically and like the drawing side yeah, too.
Right.
Like
well, that's
the commissions,
another point.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see that exactly. all the time.
Well, even that's what I just mean, like creatively as an umbrella, like
mm-hmm.
pretty much any niche that can be filled within the D&D realm or even just broader, like TTRPGs
yeah,
in general,
just in general,
somebody can fill it and make money off of it.
Oh yeah.
Or even if you're not making money, like you're doing something that you're passionate about, interested in, it takes up your time, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you're practicing drawing your own characters, you're practicing writing a really interesting backstory, or making
your voice acting skills.
Yes, making a new map, doing improv, like
yeah, improv
all fucking kinds of stuff.
Performing before people, you know, it's a great way to maybe practice before you do an actual show on like Broadway. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it seems like a lot of the more successful like live plays and stuff are actors.
Yeah,
you know,
there's so many of them. They're really into
it,
especially lately.
They have all the tools that they need to make D&D entertaining
mm-hmm.
and sell it.
Yep. I'm sure
it's
they've
perfect.
All been thinking, like, why haven't we done this before?
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't been as popular. And now everybody's doing it.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's great. It's definitely great for a lot of things.
It can also be, like, an emotional outlet for a lot of people. That's something
yep.
that we've seen a lot when we've interacted with strangers online about this game. People that are maybe marginalized or struggle with social situations or just things in general, you know,
mm-hmm.
other types, yeah, well, emotional, physical disorders, whatever it is, that it can be a really good outlet for them because mm-hmm. they can be honest. They can say, hey, like, this is who I am as a person, but I still want to be part of this group. This is how I want to play. They can, like, experience real emotions without having, like, real consequences necessarily, you know,
because
it's all within a fantasy setting. And they can kind of maybe disconnect or even, like, connect deeper with something in a way.
Yeah, that is actually an interesting point, too, because it can be both ways. You could be like, hey, my life sucks. I hate everything,
yeah.
but I have D&D, and I'm going to make it great. And I'm going to have this character who's not going through this stuff and put away everything, you
exactly.
know, and just have a good time. And then there's the other side of the coin where maybe you really put yourself into this character and into this campaign, and you kind of play out your issues in a way
yeah.
and you literally maybe fight it or
yeah.
maybe you literally kind of confront it in the form of an orc or whatever. You take it out on them and it's a way to vent or even just
like
it out there.
Real world issues that you want to talk about or that you struggle with that you can kind of project
mm-hmm.
into a game and like deal with it in a healthier way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting.
And it's obviously, there's definitely situations that's going to make that pretty delicate,
right?
Depending on what it is, where that's if you're in a group that you're comfortable enough with, like talk with them and talk with your DM about it.
Yeah.
And if everybody's on the same page and they're like, no, this is a good way for us to get through it together.
Right.
Then it could be very beneficial in that way and help you fight through some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, there's people like that are maybe on the spectrum or that are chronically ill or whatever other example you could possibly give that
yeah.
is outside the quote norm
mm-hmm.
of people that might otherwise struggle with like a regular social situation that can come together with all sorts of other types of people
yep.
And play a game that they'll enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or write a game or draw characters for people or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, it's a really good creative outlet, often very healthy, but you know, not always. but just kind of a different way of approaching some of that stuff.
Right. And again, everybody's different about how they go through things and how they process it. And this might be one of them for many.
Yeah.
You know, and I've read a lot of stories of like, I've read about someone who is forever in a wheelchair, but her character is always on her feet and fighting.
That's
and she
awesome.
Loves it, you know, and that's how she acts that out, you know. And I've read stories of another who said that, you know what, they didn't really understand who they were or what they were, like gender-wise, you know, and they figured it out by trying different characters.
I was going to say that too.
Being pretty fluid with that.
Yeah, there's people, we've seen stories of people, just like you said, that have kind of been unsure of themselves as people and have been able to use D&D to slowly learn about themselves and also come out to people that they trust that way, you know, in whatever way that they need to come out about themselves and like learn more about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
And it's really beautiful too. Like, it may not be for hundreds of thousands of people, but even if it's for just a handful, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you said definitely like public speaking skills too. And there's, I've seen some stories about people that get really like nervous, like shut down.
Yeah.
Anxiety, stuttery, panic attacks, like can't speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still are able to like role play their character and like still play the game and have fun. And they don't have to talk, or they don't have to talk the way that you would normally think you would in the game.
Right. You can almost sort of create, like, I guess an alter ego, one could call it, you know, and it's easy for them to slip into that skin and be that person.
I know.
Because this person is the confident one. She'll do this and do that.
Or even just,
I wouldn't, you know?
I mean, that is very true. I was also thinking, too, like, a character that just doesn't speak. That
there's
uses
also
gestures or mimes or writes or sings or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's just really interesting. I wouldn't say that, like, it improved my public speaking skills, but it was definitely something I had to learn as part of the game, as how to, like, be a different character and, like, role play and, like, kind of act and, you know, just, like, the rules of the social aspect of the game and kind of, like, open up more to do that kind of stuff.
It forces you to think differently.
Definitely.
Like, hey, okay, so I made this character this way. How would that person go about this situation?
It kind of challenges you, to think about not what you, the person, would do, but what a different type of person would do.
Yeah. It's a really good way to get perspective of others. And this was something that I didn't find too much on personally, but maybe it's an inkling of an idea of using D&D to kind of reenact history itself, actual events. You know, but with a more fantastical twist. So it's still, you know, pretty light and fun, but you can still retell stories of actual things that have happened in a setting that people might actually retain it.
Yeah. Do you mean more in like a teaching setting? Like if you're trying to teach that history?
Yeah, definitely for teaching. I mean, it doesn't have to be strictly teaching, but it's just an interesting idea of just like, all right, we're going to go through world history. So today we're going to learn about this event through D&D. You know?
Yeah.
I bet that could be kind of fun to do. Safe to do as well. Yeah, and kind of going back to the emotional part of it too, that's another thing that kind of checked the box of how it helped me in real life is I have depression, and it's just something that's ongoing. It's never going to go away. I've accepted that a long time ago. You know, for some people, it's not something that's like, oh, it's like a phase. It'll go away after the right person helps or medication or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's a very common thing that is going on.
A lot more people
especially
have it
in our generation,
than I think anyone realizes. And it's something that, at least lately, it seems like it's being more and more acceptable to at least talk about.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
And I think that D&D is one of the things that kind of helps with that. You know, it's something to look forward to for me. It's something that really lightens up my day, you know, and I have a lot of fun with it. And I forget any of those like really naggy voices in the back of my head. Maybe sometimes I'll be them and make fun of it. You know? But,
and you don't feel like pressure to have two games and a podcast like every week. And you don't feel like stressed and like dreading having to do all that work.
Oh, I never dread it.
That's great. Yeah, well, that's important.
It's fun for me to look forward to.
It's fun
to.
Stress.
It's more of a stress of like, will anybody like it? Will anybody enjoy it? Am I doing okay? So I guess maybe there is a flip side of like, there is kind of that. But ultimately, it's
But you're never like, oh, I don't really want to play this week, or I don't really want to do this.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe once in a blue moon, I'll be like, all right, I would like 1 week where I only deal with D&D two times instead of three times a week, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe every now and then I will admit to that. But for the most part, no, this is something that I really enjoy. Like, even with this podcast, I really wish, well, I would really like to see it taken further, and like, I would love to do more with it. I would love to in the future record live sessions too, you know, and like maybe an actual campaign. But I mean, we'll take it day by day. It is what it is. I'm enjoying it. I can see myself doing more.
We hope you're enjoying it, the one person that's listening right now.
I hope so too.
Maybe we'll listen to it in 10 years and laugh. Like when you pull out your old journals from high school and you're like, oh man, that was fucking dumb.
Why did I write this?
No, I hope not. Yeah, for me, I thought about this a lot. I kept coming back to it because I just didn't really have an answer. I kind of felt guilty that I didn't have like some kind of revolutionary answer about how D&D has like impacted me or like changed my life. But the more I thought about it, I was like, man, I just really like it. You know, kind of what we were just saying, but I always am excited to come play. I don't feel like the dread. Like, I have pretty bad anxiety, so sometimes I'm just like, I just can't deal with it, you know?
Sure.
But that's pretty rare. It's definitely one of those things where I'm like, cool, I'm going to play D&D today. I'm going to play D&D tomorrow. I'm going to come record a podcast. I had a friend that was like, I really want to get into D&D, but I don't know anybody wants to play. I was like, I would probably play D&D 3 days a week. I mean, let me know.
Like 7 days a week. I've got some openings.
Like, that's probably a bad idea, but we'll see. But then I thought about it a little more, and I realized it just, especially since we've watched it snowball and get so big and so popular in the last, like, decade or less, I realized that it's really opened me up to a community.
Yes.
And it's like allowed me to kind of like explore and like feel connected to just like strangers that all feel the same way. But also because it's such a large community, there's just so many different little aspects to it.
Yeah.
So this is how this person plays D&D. This is how these people run their game. This is how they ran this exact same module that we've already played. You know, this is what they would make their Dragonborn character look like. It's just really cool, and there's always something new, and there's always just a different take on it. I feel like I could sit down with, like, 70% of the people that play D&D and have a fun game.
Oh, yeah. You know? Or even, like, a conversation about it, too. Yeah. And you can relate to so much of the stuff, too, that they share, and you're like, oh, man, I had that happen, too.
Exactly.
Like, oh, no, it's such a bummer. Like, it's a great way to connect, and community is huge.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, we are an age, and it's, you know, obviously as you get older, it's true where it does get a bit difficult for some, maybe not all, to still have like a group that you see all the time or that you feel like you're really a part of and everything. And D&D is for literally everybody, so you could always go back to it even if you're like in your 80s if you wanted, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so big now, and like, it's such a, I don't want to say franchise, but it's such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, that again, there's like so many tiny, minuscule parts and large parts to connect and be a part of. Mm-hmm. But a good example is Critical Role. You know, there's a new season of Critical Role ongoing right now that like millions of people are watching together. And it's like being part of like the Marvel fan base or like the Lord of the Rings fan base or something crazy. And you're getting like fresh new content all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And
you're all sharing it together.
Exactly.
And it's a way to connect with people, because I think people sometimes forget that we all, I don't know, we're all people. You know, we all have likes, we all have dislikes. You know, there are things that we can share together and experience together and have a good time. You know, you can make these connections with people across the world, literally, and geek out about anything related to that topic that you guys have in common.
I know.
And sometimes that's all you need to make that connection, and you don't need anything else for some of these friendships.
Well, especially with the power of the internet, how it brings people together, you know, and just how you can, like, follow people on social and watch games live and people stream on their Twitch accounts, you know? Yeah, there's just so many ways to get involved with strangers and also people that eventually won't be strangers.
I mean, even for us, like, since we started this podcast, we've kind of started connecting with other people.
Yeah.
within this realm that we never would have before.
Yeah, that's a good point. And to kind of dive deeper into that, something that we as female podcasters have been really excited about is being able to connect with other female gamers, specifically, you know, women.
That's been pretty cool.
Women that are in the gaming community in some way or that find nerd culture important to them the way we have, and to kind of all talk about it and like promote each other and like be there to support each other and just share experiences and also just to like talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've said it a few times, but D&D wasn't accessible to women or people of color or people that identify within the LGBTQ plus realm or anything like that. You know, it was very a specific type of person would play D&D.
Yes, and only those people were allowed to play it. Anyone else, ugh, whatever, you're posers. You don't know the true D&D.
And, you know, like now it is so much more acceptable and the 5e version of D&D is so inclusive and so easily modified to fit your needs.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not just D&D because D&D is pretty similar to a lot of other TTRPGs nowadays. I mean, you can combine them all and, you know, like, just kind of build your own game and play however you want. But it really, it really allows people that otherwise wouldn't have access to it to be able to enjoy it in their own way.
Yeah, definitely. I like that we've taken this thing where the roots of it are pretty messed up and, you know, filled pretty with all kinds of
toxic white masculinity.
Yeah, exactly. All that kind of bullshit.
And we pulled it up.
And we pulled it up and we made it grow into this beautiful flower.
For the most
many
part.
Colors. You know? And it's just nice to see that we've been able to, like, we saw something that was really cool at the core, you know, and we evolved it into what it is today. It doesn't have to be strictly for only if you check this box.
Yep.
You know, you can be any of the boxes. There's so many boxes. We keep adding boxes.
Here's how you can change the boxes.
Yeah, some of them
you can color code your boxes.
Some of them are circles now and triangles or squiggles. And it's just all over the place, which is fantastic. Yeah, it's been really cool seeing the evolution of D&D.
And that's another interesting point because it's, you know, having a group and a community like this can be a safe space for a lot of people.
Yes.
We're part of a really nice group that is all for women and non-binary people that play D&D and DM. And we mm-hmm. see a lot of really interesting stories about that. And it's just, you know, people connecting like, oh my god, I had that happen to me too. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Or like, here's my character that I drew. Like, what do you guys think? Or just people sharing kind of like darker stories of having issues with groups or having issues being this type of person playing with people that didn't accept them.
Right.
Or on the nicer side of things, like, oh my gosh, like, I met my husband through D&D.
That's always been cute to read.
Yeah,
like,
it's
oh,
so
this is
cool.
How I met my fiance. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It's so cute. Yeah, it's been really great seeing all these stories. And then kind of turning it down a little bit, going back to what you said. Unfortunately, there are some stories that are not so pleasant that still happen to this day.
Yeah.
You know, of people just being mistreated or not being heard in their game and no one taking seriously, like, maybe a phobia that they have or something traumatic that has happened
triggering.
And they don't want, yeah, anything triggering. And unfortunately, some games are like, oh, well, you know what? I'm gonna do it anyways.
Well, you that's know? Kind of the other side of the coin with something that is as open and broad as a game like Dungeons & Dragons, where mm-hmm. so many people feel like they can play now. That sometimes it can take a lot of shuffling through people because there's so many different types that could be in your group that you may not all mesh well together.
Exactly.
And you may be with people that are not so great, maybe with people that are like really awesome and fit perfectly, and sometimes it takes a lot of figuring out. And that can be difficult for people to deal with.
I'm sure it's really stressful because it's really hard, especially now that it's so open. There are games where they're like, oh, hey, it's open to literally whoever wants to join.
Yeah, and then you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's a roll of the dice on what you're going to get.
I think what's really helpful, but not everybody does this, but it's becoming more popular where you have like almost like a questionnaire or a checklist.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
What don't you want to talk about? What don't you want to play with? What kind of things do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what do you like as a person? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Having that part of, like, you know, your session zero is huge, you know? And just getting to know each other, like, okay, where are we at? Will we do well together? If no, all right, let's move on.
I know. I just had an idea, Keisha. We should try and find a random group online and play with them once and see what it's like.
I think that would be a really
because we've never we only play with people that we know.
Maybe it might be fun.
Yeah,
it could be a lot of things.
It could be interesting. It could be a learning experience, though.
No, it would, because we've only played with people we knew. Well, I guess when I started, I only technically knew you.
Well, yeah.
Partner. But I mean, that aside, I know them now. But yeah, I think that would be. We should definitely do that. Yeah. So obviously, there are definitely some bad stories to it, but that's with everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we said when we were saying D&D is for everybody, it's literally for everybody, right. The good and the bad, yeah. And in between. So
sometimes it just takes some figuring out.
Yeah. And for those that, if there's anybody listening that is part of a group that you don't think that you know you don't want to be with this group, like you feel obligated, but you just, there's just something wrong with it, or it's just something not going well, or something bad going on, I encourage you to leave, honestly.
I mean, look, I'm not going to tell anybody how to live their life, but if you're not having fun playing a game, something's wrong.
Yeah, and maybe it's something where a conversation could fix it, or a couple conversations, or unfortunately, maybe having to leave. Not saying it's easy. Not saying that's the right choice. Obviously, yeah. It's per person, every single situation. It's
obviously easier said than done, but, you know, the big... I feel like the big sentence with D&D is that it's just a game.
It is just a game, ultimately. At least in general. I know that there are some people, though, kind of going back to what this topic is, it is what they need, you know? Maybe that's, like, the only little light they have in this, like, really dark...
Yeah.
Life that surrounds them, you know, and it's a way out of that. And I can definitely understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. But going back to the good part of it, it's just nice that... Excuse us, my cat is being ridiculous in the background.
She's always distracting.
I know. She's so cute.
Why if you follow us on Instagram, you'd see lots of pictures of her. She's Keisha's patron.
Wombat the cat. She's pretty great.
Anyways.
Yeah, no, there's so much good. I think there's more good that D&D brings than bad, especially at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and with the way people are taking it and moving it forward and the way it's changing for the better, you know, It's really nice to see that. It's very revolutionizing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we play pretty casually, obviously, and there's professional games, but kind of what we said in the beginning of the show, how it can really teach skills. It's being used, like, to teach children. There's, like, camps and programs and after-school activities for, like, younger children to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And all those things we just talked about, how that really helps children at that age accept each other and socialize and learn, you know, what they like and don't like, and be able to communicate and learn math and be creative and express themselves. Like, all those things are so important to just being an individual. And yeah, we've said it, I feel like, a bunch, but you can be 3 years old, you can be 90 years old and play this game and have fun.
You can still learn from it. You can still use it. You can still just have it strictly a game, and it doesn't affect your real life, and that's just fine, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. The reach that it has is just infinite, and it's ever-growing.
Right. And it's not perfect, like, at its core. You know, no. Obviously how it started isn't perfect. But again, there's so much extra content, and there's so much to be used and be played with that, yeah, it really is for anybody. And you can, I don't want to say ignore, but you can take away a lot of the bad history of the game.
Yeah.
And apply a lot of the good stuff however you want.
Yeah, exactly.
You can use it in conjunction with other games. You can use it in conjunction with some of your favorite material from other sources.
It could be a starting point for your own, you know, yeah. Like, oh, this is how this works. Okay, I'd like to change a couple things here and there. And voila, you have your own module. You have your own TTRPG.
And then maybe one day you'll be sending Keisha a link to your Kickstarter.
Yep. And
fund
I'll
my TTRPG.
Buy it because I have a problem. I can't not. There's so many. It's probably a bad thing. I usually buy these at like 10 p.m. when my husband's not around.
You've had a glass of wine
or two. Give me the courage to do it. A couple weeks later, something comes at the door and he gives me the look of like, really?
What'd you buy this time?
What did you get this time? More of the, oh, sorry. You have your cameras that are much more expensive.
If anybody is listening and is making their own D&D content or dice or anything D&D related and you want us to promote and test it, let us know.
Yes, we are always open to that.
We do.
Because we need more.
Any kind of stuff like that. It sounds fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. We love all the stuff that comes out from this. We didn't mention the dice much either. Oh, there's so much dice that's made for this. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying before, where there's just like such a large world within D&D now that anybody can make a living off any niche.
Yeah.
You know, people it's make crazy. Character sheets and sell them for money.
That's true. Oh, there are people, and this is definitely something I might have bought, is when they make a book, especially for DMs, where you can like track everything. Yeah. Like they have a page for like, what about your world? And section for all your NPCs. Yep. And stuff like that.
That's it's amazing.
Amazing. Because I don't have to do it myself. But yeah, there's just, there's so much to it. It's ridiculous.
And there's a lot of crossover, too, between that kind of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's fun, too.
There's a company that makes shirts, D&D-themed shirts, that are crossover with, like, metal and gothic themes.
Nice.
So it's all, like, D&D metal and goth stuff. Sick. All right. I'm into it.
That's amazing. Again, it is for everybody, all the clicks.
And if you're listening and you've never played D&D and you want to try, there are literally thousands of free resources out there. Mm-hmm. Just search Google how to play D&D.
And you will be overwhelmed. But I would say there's like a real, like a 99% chance you'll find something that will fit you, right, and will help you figure it all out. And
I mean, we haven't touched any of that ever, because there's like already 100 podcasts and shows and videos that are dedicated just to beginners, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But so. it's accessible. It seems overwhelming and it seems difficult, and maybe the hardest part is finding a group to play with, but it's all out there and it's all available for you to do.
Yeah, and everybody's had their first time too, so you're not the only one.
Everybody has a first.
The first or the last. Everybody had to be the new person that's like, what's this? When do I do that? Oh, God. Yeah. And if you, to those who are listening, we would love to hear your stories. Tell us how D&D has impacted your life. Ideally for the better. But, or worse, you know, do you tell us whatever you want to tell us? Has any of these stories, like, kind of been something you relate to? Do you have something totally different? We'd love to hear.
You can reach us. The best way to reach us is on Instagram. We have a lot of really cool content on there. We post a lot of stuff. Keisha posts a lot of her drawings. We post a lot of our game content, all kinds of shit. So that's Potions and Potpourri on Instagram. You can email us. We'll respond right away. Same thing, potionsandpotpourri@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page. Yeah,
technically we have a Twitter, but we haven't really used that yet. So.
It's just so nobody steals it. Don't steal our shit.
I know, yeah. Please. We are fledglings. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up this conversation for today. It's not our longest one, but you know, it's just
short and sweet.
Short and sweet, and just something that hopefully
gets the conversation started.
Yeah, you know, and gets other people talking about it and thinking about it too, and you know, don't be afraid to bring some of this at your own table, maybe, and see what magic happens. But yeah, all right. So that's the end of this episode. This has been, I don't know what I was saying. This was Keisha.
This is Kayla. I thought you were just going to say, this is Keisha.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyways.
And this is Kayla. Bye.
Until next time, guys.